it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belville.
All right, all right, all right. Welcome back, everybody. It's hour two, Toker Talk Radio, and that means the phone lines are open. Our live number here is 650-LEGAL-MJ. 650-LEGAL-MJ, that's 650-534-2565. And you don't have to wait till the 4 o'clock hour Pacific time to call me, although that's the time to call if you want to talk live. But 650-LEGAL-MJ is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We've got a voicemail machine there. You can leave a message, and we just might play it back on the Toker Talk Radio Hour, like this message we got 4 days ago from the folks in Saginaw, Michigan.
Hey, Russ, it's Jamming Jerry Mater here in Saginaw, Michigan. I just wanted to say keep up the great work, dude. You're doing awesome. And just, I really enjoy your show. And take care. And hope all is well out there in Oregon. And everything's good over here in Michigan. I'm actually calling you on a Saturday. It's raining like hell out here. It's okay. Gives me more ability to smoke. Because you know how it is. When it's raining outside, you got nothing better to do than toke. Right? Come on. Anyway, take care and be well. Again, look forward to talking to you at some point live. Later.
Well, thanks for calling in, Jim and Jerry from Saginaw. And Michigan, boy, you guys got a lot of stuff going on as far as your medical marijuana goes. And MI Legalized tried so hard to get legalization on the ballot this year. Came so close. I know you guys will be following along in 2018 or 2020 at the latest. We'll get you legalization out there in Michigan. We've got other calls stored up in our voicemail. We'll get to those a little bit later. We're also taking live calls at 650-LEGAL-MJ. And a quick announcement from the folks in Denver. The Cannabis Business Alliance has issued their official support of Denver Ballot Initiative 300. Ballot Initiative 300 is the Denver Social Use Initiative, the neighborhood-supported social use initiative. This is the one that would allow the city to issue licenses to any business that wants to allow on-site cannabis consumption by adults. It would also allow for special event permits for on-site cannabis consumption by adults. One of the catches is that those licenses would have to be approved by a registered neighborhood group. So if the neighborhood didn't want your business to have that license, you wouldn't get it. Kind of a neighborhood veto option, as it were. They are having a fundraiser for the Yes on 300 campaign in Denver. It's going to be at Metlo tomorrow from 5 to 7 Mountain Time. If you want more information, log on to facebook.com/Denver Social Use. You can also find the Cannabis Business Alliance at cannabisalliance.org. And if you've got any of these announcements for events or fundraisers that you'd like me to get out to the cannabis community, send them to me. I'm radicalruss@gmail.com. In fact, I'm radicalruss on anything that has a username. You should be able to get a hold of me. I'll be happy to announce your upcoming events. All right, stay tuned, folks. We've got plenty to get to here in hour two. In our next segment, we're going to take a look at a Rolling Stone look at the NFL and cannabis. We've spoken to so many former players recently about this issue, and it is starting to break into the national consciousness. After the safety briefing, we're going to take a look at a piece in Politico that shows the evolution of one of the most conservative senators, Senator Lindsey Graham, coming to support medical marijuana issues. Then, as we close out the show today, we'll look at PTSD in Colorado for their medical marijuana program and European teens versus U.S. teens on marijuana use. Stick around.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Every strain, every sale, every medical study. Keep it right here on the Cannabis Radio Network.
Play as Ted Growing, expelled botany sophomore and the biggest grower in town, only on Weed Firm Replanted. Available on the App Store and Google Play.
It's a lot of work being the biggest grower in town. Maintaining a room full of plants while dealing with a slew of eccentric customers, from a hardcore partier to the curious neighbor next door.
Is anybody home?
Help me expand my bud business by unlocking new strains, customizing my grow room, and completing challenges that you can't get enough of. Grow your empire so big you can see it from space. Low on funds? Don't worry. Weed Firm Replanted is free to download.
Download Weed Firm Replanted for free on the App Store and Google Play today. Get growing, Mr. Growing.
I'm Radical Russ from the Russ Belville Show.
Tennessee's Congressman Steve Cohen.
Well, you know, if marijuana is a gateway drug, then kissing is a gateway activity to sexual addiction.
U.S. Representative Jared Polis.
Yes, we really have a growing group of representatives that support decriminalization.
It's the Russ Belville Show, the NPR of POT, weekdays live at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific, exclusively on CannabisRadio.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists. And some, I assume, are good people.
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Before we get to the NFL story, I want to follow up on what we were talking about in Denver, the social use initiative. During break, I was catching up with the chat room, and one of our chatters brought up the point that Jordan Person, from Denver Normal, has asked many of the neighborhood groups what they think about marijuana licensing, and that most of them, probably almost all of them, are against the idea. They wouldn't approve of any sort of business licensing. Now, Jordan Person, it should be noted, was also the person behind Denver Normal's social use initiative that failed to make the ballot. There were two different initiatives that were competing to make the ballot, and the one on the ballot, obviously it won, and the Denver Normal one didn't. And there were some significant differences between the two. Most significantly is the fact that the one that's on the ballot requires the approval of a neighborhood group before you can get your license. You know, this neighborhood veto sort of option. Whereas the Denver Normal version did not require the neighborhood to approve. It only required getting a license from the city, and as long as you met those requirements, you could get the license. The other significant difference would be in the Denver Normal Initiative, it would have put marijuana lounges as separate entities. You couldn't have a, like, open consumption at a beer bar or a pub or a yoga studio or anything like that. It would specifically be a pot lounge. And the Denver social use people, Kayvon Kalatbari and the people that got on the ballot, didn't like that idea because they felt that cannabis consumers shouldn't be segregated. We shouldn't have to endure separate but equal sorts of facilities. That is, why can't we mingle with the beer drinkers or the people doing yoga or the rest of the folks out at a summer concert series in the park? Between the two of them, I think we could have had the perfect initiative. If there was no neighborhood required sign-off and a special license could be granted to any place that wanted to have cannabis consumption, that would be the perfect solution for me. Because I am sympathetic to that argument by the Denver social use people that we shouldn't be segregated. As it is here in Portland, we have some cannabis lounges. The Northwest Cannabis Club comes to mind. And at those lounges, we can't drink alcohol. There's no other things for sale there. It's just, you know, show up into this one room where you can smoke pot. And that's nice to have. It's better than having no public accommodations, but it still underscores this idea that we're somehow different, separate, lesser than, somehow reviled, having to be kept segregated in our own little corners of the city so that we're not infecting the rest of the populace with our pot smoking ways. I'm sympathetic to that argument. And they do make a good point that getting the neighborhood buy-off on these licenses in the long run could be the best way to make this happen. Now, I agree that most of the neighborhood associations, almost all of them, are going to reject this licensing. They're going to play not in my backyard, and what about the children, and all of these fears that would happen if, you know, Bob's Tavern allowed pot smoking or whatever. But I believe that at least one of them, and maybe a few of these neighborhood associations, will welcome the pot licensing. I'm thinking there may be a few of them that recognize the economic opportunity available in being one of the only places in the city of Denver where people can go and enjoy some sort of cannabis entertainment venue. And once we get one or two or three of these neighborhood associations to relent and allow for these pot licenses, these social use licenses, and as those continue without major problems, without news stories of the sky falling because we let someone at a bar smoke a joint, the more that continues, the more these other neighborhood associations are going to recognize the sky didn't fall and there's money to be made. And the people of their neighborhood want these sorts of outlets. It'll be somewhat like medical marijuana, where the first few states, after they passed and nothing bad happened, more states followed along. So I think even though the initiative on the ballot will probably lead to far fewer places where the public can consume cannabis than the Denver Normal one would have, the places where you will be able to consume will be so varied and the example will be so stark that it will kind of destroy this fear that allowing people to consume pot in public is going to have any sort of problems. If it were the other initiative and we got a bunch of pot lounges that were basically no better than some stoner's basement, but then moved out to a larger building, but we're all separate and we're not integrating alcohol, we're not integrating anything else, then that makes it harder for us to make the case that pot use should be legal in the park at a special event or legal at other venues where alcohol or other entertainment are going on. So overall, I'm happy with the Denver Social Use Initiative being on the ballot, and I really hope that it passes. Also, I also wanted to make give you a chance to hear another one of our voicemails on our 650 Legal MJ line. You can call that 24 hours a day and leave a message. We'll be glad to play it back here on the show. For this message, we go to New York City, New York, where our friend Wayne has called in.
Russ, this is Wayne Reese from Brooklyn, New York, and I'm calling in because I'm a huge Russ Belville fan. I think you're just fantastic, and I support you 110%. But there's a couple of issues that I wanted to talk to you about, which I wouldn't say that necessarily we disagree, but I think we sort of have different points of view. And one issue was this idea that there's medical use and non-medical use of marijuana. And the other issue is that there are the dangerous drugs, and then there's marijuana. Okay, so the first issue, this idea that there are healthy people and sick people, I think that's a very strange paradigm. I don't want to paint you into a corner, and I don't want to say that you're sick, but I just find that this sort of American medical paradigm that we have is not really quite accurate. It doesn't really describe reality very well. And that is that, you know, if you go to a hospital and you get some tests done on your liver, either you have a healthy liver or you have a sick liver. And I don't think that really describes reality too well. I think that there is a sliding scale of health and deteriorating into actual illness, but there's a whole range. So some people are actually ill, true, but then there's the rest of society that gets sort of a C+, and they're sort of, we speak of them as if they're healthy, and I don't think that's true, nor do I think that it's a condition that you arrive at. Oh, great, now I'm healthy. It's more like being a musician. You know, there are some people who consider themselves tone deaf, and there are some people who are conservatory trained, and there's everything in between. But even the guy who goes to the conservatory, he's always working, or she is always working on it, and there's always room for improvement. And I think health is the same way. So when somebody says, well, I don't use marijuana for health reasons, you use marijuana to make yourself feel better, and feeling good is part of being healthy. That's what healthy is. You laugh more. You enjoy sex. These are all measurements of health. So I would sort of encourage you to think of this in a different paradigm. It's not a question of, I don't really understand what people mean when they say I use marijuana for recreation. Got to go. My wife's on the other line. I'll talk to you again. Okay. Bye.
Big thanks to Wayne for calling in. Wayne's been a fan of the show for a long time. We've exchanged numerous emails, and he always makes me think very deeply about subjects. And that's a subject, you know, we talk about a lot here. You know, a lot of people like to say all use is medical. And what I bristle against is the term medical in that he mentions the paradigm, the Western medical paradigm, which is medicine is a machine to fix a broken human. That's the way we think of medicine in America. It's a machine. It's a substance we use to fix a broken human. So if the human's not broken, then you're not using it medically. And that's where that whole medical versus recreational comes in. When they say recreational users aren't using it medically, they're saying that you're not broken, you're just using it for fun. But I don't dismiss this point he's making about healthy lifestyles and this spectrum of health, right? You're not either healthy or sick. There's a spectrum, and I totally agree with that. And I like to say that, you know, take it out of the medical paradigm and put it into the supplement paradigm, right? You think of things like protein powder supplements or vitamin C supplements or anything like that. Cannabis is a supplement to our life that improves our enjoyment of it and thereby improves our health. That's what the all use of is medical people are trying to say, but I just don't think they're saying it the right way.
Blah, blah, blah.
No, blah, blah, blah.
Thank you, Captain Kirk. It's 4:20 here in the Pacific time zone on a beautiful Wednesday afternoon. Time for us to take our union-mandated safety briefing. Make sure that we're all safe. I hope you're safe. When we come back, we'll see if we can get in that NFL story and that Lindsey Graham story as well. Plus your calls at 650-LEGAL-MJ.
We have your smoking section right here. This is the Cannabis Radio Network.
The next generation of vaporizers has arrived. Vuber vaporizers are blazing the way with unparalleled technology for oil, concentrate, or dry flower pens. Providing unsurpassed customer service and expert craftsmanship, Vuber vaporizers use cutting-edge technology, providing a power-packed, smoother vapor with a lifetime guarantee. Experience vaporizing the way it was meant to be. The Vuber way.
Georgia. Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Warning. Hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals, or at least they pay me to say that. A public service message from CannabisRadio.com and the Russ Belville Show.
Coming soon to a city near you, Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. Get all your cannabis accounting, legal, and compliance questions answered by their knowledgeable panel of industry experts who want to help your cannabis business boom. Whether you're a grower, dispensary operator, or a newcomer to the field, your cannabis business needs Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. For information on upcoming events, visit CannabisFinanceBootcamp.com.
Remember, friends, there's more to life than marijuana. I just can't remember what it is. Why'd I come in here? You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Hope you're all feeling safer at this point. There's been more chatter going on in our live chat room here at CannabisRadio.com on this concept we were talking about, the all-uses medical concept, that the use of cannabis by anybody is beneficial because it helps them enjoy life, to relax, to unwind, take away stress, and so forth. And we've discussed this in the past, and I've discussed how the only problem with the all-uses medical line is its framing. Is you're trying to frame it, you're trying to make your point within the frame of American understanding of what medical means. And that frame, medical, conjures up doctors and lab coats and researchers and pharmacists and pill bottles and injections and illnesses, diagnoses, all of these things that are a part of our Western, we will fix it if it's broke type medical system, don't provide the right sort of framework for us to get the point across about all uses medical. To the average listener out there, the average voter, average American, when they see somebody who they perceive as a pothead saying all use is medical, all they see is a cover-up. All they hear is you trying to make excuses or to justify what they consider to be getting high, what they consider to be at best a indulgence and at worst a terrible habit, a drug addiction, if you will. So it's not that they're wrong. It's just that they're not going to get their point across to the audience they need to get it to, trying to work it through that framework. And that's why I don't like the phrase all uses medical. And it brings up, there's a couple of comments here in the chat room that kind of make this point. Bud says, I like to drink red wine at night to relax my body, boost my testosterone, and feel better overall. Is that medical? Is drinking red wine medical? And Michael says, doing blow at 3 a.m. so you can keep drinking through the next day. Is that medical? Right. And I've made this point kind of facetiously as well, where, you know, if we say all pot smoking, all use is medical, then we are stretching and devaluing the meaning of the word medical, at least in the framework we understand here in America. Like if the point is that it relieves stress, makes you feel good, then hell, masturbation is medical, right? Watching TV is medical. Taking a walk is medical. Eating blueberries is medical, right? And if everything's medical, if everything you do that either exercises your body or relaxes your mind is defined as medical, then the word medical itself has really no meaning. It's like, you know, Lake Wobegon, where all the kids are above average. Well, you've lost all sense and meaning of the term medical if you stretch it that far. And that's why I prefer to make that point about the beneficial nature of cannabis. I prefer to make that point in the frame of supplements. When you start talking about supplements, vitamins, herbal supplements, nutraceuticals even, then when you're talking to the average voter, average American, average listener out there, they see it as, first of all, supplement. The term supplement means it conjures up the frame of optional, of discretionary, like not required but chosen. Medical, on the other hand, is not a discretionary thing. Medical is something that must happen. You must have medicine or you will get sick and die. You must have an operation or your broken leg won't heal or whatever it might be. You must continue your insulin treatments or the diabetes will kill you. That's medical. That's what medical conjures to people. So it conjures this requirement, this must smoke pot. And that's where you get that dissonance from the listener, from the average American out there, because they don't see smoking pot as something you must do. And they will easily make the distinction between the people who must smoke pot, the cancer patient, the MS patient, the person with AIDS, whatever, and that person who must smoke pot or else suffer serious problems. They accept that as medical. And that's why we have so much greater poll support among the general public for medical than we do for recreational. Because recreational to them is optional. It's something you're choosing to do. So when you try to say all use is medical, you're trying to lump together the terribly disabled person who without cannabis will suffer or die with the other person who without cannabis might be bummed out, might be a little stressed out, but ain't going to die. They ain't going to suffer very seriously. And that the general public can't reconcile. So instead, if we switch it over to the supplement idea, something that is optional, something that's discretionary, something you're choosing to do, I think we'll get better traction on the idea that all of our use is beneficial. With supplement, we put it into the same frame as bodybuilders and fitness junkies using that protein powder or eating those protein snack bars, right? Build up their muscle. With supplement, we put it in the same area as a low-dose baby aspirin that somebody with heart problems might be taking to avoid the next heart attack. With supplement, we put it in the same realm as vitamin C that somebody might take to improve their health or keep their immune system in shape. With supplement, we cast cannabis as something we are adding to our life to improve it, not something that is needed for our life to continue. And I think that way, we will make more progress on the idea that all use is beneficial to the human body. Of course, the other key to that argument, the other key to making the supplement frame stick, is educating people on the fact that we have an endocannabinoid system. And this is something, somebody who does a great job of this is Dr. Uma Dhanabalan. She's out on the East Coast in Boston, got to see her at the Freedom Rally, and she always, in every speech she makes, points out that we have an endocannabinoid system and points out that when she was going through medical school, she was never educated on the fact that we have an endocannabinoid system. In fact, it's estimated that one out of seven doctors goes to a medical school where they even mention the endocannabinoid system. Now, this is frightening as hell. Imagine if six out of seven mechanics out there had never heard of the alternator system. Yeah, I can fix your transmission and I can fix your gas line and got no problem working on the brakes here. But what's this alternator system you're talking about? You would never take your car to a mechanic who didn't know what the alternator system was. But we are regularly visiting doctors throughout this country who have no clue that we have an endocannabinoid system. And of all the systems to not know about, the endocannabinoid system may be the one that's the worst one to be ignorant of. I mean, we have an endocrine system, we have an adrenaline, we have cardiovascular, musculoskeletal. We've got all these different systems in our bodies. And the endocannabinoid system is the one that helps to regulate all of them, helps to keep the homeostasis going for all those systems. So for doctors not to know that is just shameful, just incredible. But she always makes the point of educating people. We have an endocannabinoid system. Our bodies produce natural endogenous cannabinoids, chemicals that act like pot. One of them is called anandamide. And that our body has this cannabinoid system, and the cannabis plant has evolved in such a way to produce molecules that act on that system. Now, whether you're a religious person and think God put the cannabis plant here with all the nutritious hemp seed and all the medical properties and all the textile and fiber that can be made from it as a boon to humankind, if you think that was divine providence that did that, part of God's plan, or if you're more of a scientific thinker and think that evolution, know that evolution is what made these things happen, regardless, it would seem clear to me that there is a special relationship between the mammals on this planet that have endocannabinoid systems and the plant on this planet that supplements that system. The cannabis plant evolved along with us. We got benefit from its cannabinoids. We found pleasure in its cannabinoids. And that led us to keep planting that plant and changing it and crossbreeding it and developing it into what it is today. Much the same as how we co-evolved with dogs. Dogs were originally the wolves that would hang out around the fringes of our caveman campfires. And the ones that had lesser stress hormones in reaction to human presence, the ones that were less scared to come closer to the fire pit, those were the ones that got rewarded with the scraps of food and the bones. And that relationship developed between mankind and canine, where we bred them for our purposes. We bred the docile ones together to make more docile versions. We benefited from their heightened senses to keep us safe from predators. And in return, we cared for them and fed them and helped propagate their species. I don't think it's too far of a stretch to say that cannabis is the dog of plants. It's man's best friend. And knowing that we have an endocannabinoid system, knowing that we co-evolved with a plant, knowing that a plant found its way in the evolutionary niche by supplementing and improving the endocannabinoid systems of humans and, for that matter, all mammals, goes a long way toward bolstering the paradigm, bolstering the frame of cannabis as a supplement. When cannabis is just an illegal drug that makes you high, it's seen by the public as an as an exterior substance. It's seen as a poisoning. It's seen can't think of the damn word. Anyway, it's spoiling you in a sense. But the more people understand that cannabis co-evolved with us and supplements the natural system we already have, the less it's seen as that external threat, that external poisonous substance, and more like something that belongs in our system, something that we should be using and enjoying. So continue that education. Let people know that we have an endocannabinoid system. Especially tell your doctor. If your doctor doesn't know what the endocannabinoid system is, find them some books and get them educated. All right, we got to take another break, pay some more of the bills. And when we come back, I know I didn't get to the NFL or Lindsey Graham. We'll try to talk a little bit about that, but also Colorado may add PTSD to its medical marijuana law. We'll update you on that. And a look at the latest data out of Europe comparing their teenagers to our teenagers on weed. Stick around. We're back in just 2 minutes.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Earn your PhD in THC monetization with CannabisRadio.com. Don't be late.
The cannabis business industry is growing. Business is booming. And as new opportunities arise in newly legalized states, each market is getting more competitive. Today, it takes more than just being a good grower. Do you have the resources to market and handle this ever-changing business landscape? Let Canna Management Corporation help you grow your canna business with our vast resources and experience to make your business a fully functional service company. Financial management, HR, sales, marketing, efficiency, and more. CMC has the experience and the expertise to improve your business and help you better meet the demands of your clients and customers. Call Canna Management Corporation and let our team get you ready to grow. 415-269-8015. That's 415-269-8015. Or visit canna-management.com.
Previously on the Stoner Jesus Show.
St. Paul's doing good work.
It's Mike Gregory Poontang, if I can use a medical term.
Yes. The New England Medical Journal.
Oh, my God.
That's right. Well, you can call me Dr. St. Paul now.
Dr. St. Paul.
I don't think I will.
No. you wouldn't even qualify to be a vet.
I'm a special kind of vet. I make them less lonely.
The Stoner Jesus Show. Live Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Or find the Stoner Jesus Show podcast on demand at CannabisRadio.com and StonerJesus.net.
Peace, bitches.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
We need to build a wall.
Okay, maybe you're high too.
The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com, and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
Warning, hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me to say that. This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. 40 after the hour here. Cruising into the last segment of Toker Talk Radio. Our lines are open at 650-LEGAL-MJ. That's 650-534-2565. You can call anytime and leave a message, or you can call now and talk to me live. If you've got questions, comments, complaints, suggestions, topics, events, deep thoughts you want to get off your chest, just let us know. We're here for you at Toker Talk Radio. When we say the voice of the marijuana nation, we mean your voice. Marijuana Nation. And speaking of your voices and the Marijuana Nation, just a quick shout out to all the longtime listeners out there who've been with me through thick and thin, through Normal and 420 Radio, and now on Cannabis Radio. Thank you so much for continuing to support the show and my endeavors as a cannabis activist. Couldn't ask for a better job. I could ask for better pay, but I couldn't ask for a better job. And I really appreciate all you being here. And I know that for many of you, coming here live to listen to the show every day is an appointment you make fairly religiously. I see you in the chat room all the time. And just want to let you know that I'm sitting here all by myself every day talking into a microphone on a laptop. And the only thing that keeps me sane is knowing that you're out there listening. So keep on listening, keep on supporting, and I'll keep talking about weed until it is completely legal. Now, how do we know when marijuana is completely legal? Well, Chris Goldstein, my friend out in Philly, had a test for that. He mentioned it in his speech at the Boston Freedom Rally. He said, marijuana will be completely legal when a black man walking down the street in Philadelphia with a joint on his lips walks by a cop car in which sits a black cop who is also smoking a joint, and they just wave at each other and nobody goes to jail. That's when marijuana is completely legal. So, yeah, I guess I'll accept that. That's a good test. I like that. All right, let me get to some of the extra stories that have been percolating in the marijuana media here before I run out of yet another segment to talk about them. Colorado is looking at adding post-traumatic stress, or what they call PTSD, as a qualifying condition for their medical marijuana program. A lot of you out there are going, wait a minute, they don't have PTSD in Colorado in the med? No, they don't. They passed their medical marijuana program in 2000, and in the 16 years since then, activists, veterans, and their supporters have been pushing to get PTSD added to the medical marijuana program, and to no avail. Even as other states around the country have been adding PTSD, Colorado's been dragging its feet. Even in 2012, when Amendment 64 was on the ballot to legalize marijuana in Colorado, part of the campaign was that there was no PTSD in the medical program, so veterans who wanted any sort of relief would only be able to get it if we legalized marijuana for everybody. That was a major selling point of Amendment 64, is to get cannabis to the vets with PTS. Well, now it looks like they may actually do it. Tomorrow, on one of the panels in the State House in Denver, they've got a vote scheduled to give post-traumatic stress patients the ability to get their recommendation for medical cannabis. And they're doing this over the objections of the state health department. Now, the state board of health, they've rejected, like I said, multiple times these petitions to add PTSD, or PTS, I should say. And they often cite that there's not enough medical study, that there may be long-term threats to veterans and other patients who use cannabis to treat their post-traumatic stress. There's not enough proof that it really works, et cetera, et cetera. It's shocking they still come to that conclusion. Now, this panel that's voting on this, it's not like it's a legislative committee. So this isn't like a bill. This isn't going to move forward and become law. It's not going to have any legal effect. But when these panels make their policy decisions, they usually carry some weight when the full legislature gets together, and that'll be next January. So still moving slowly. Post-traumatic stress won't even be discussed as a policy possibility until 2017, when the legislature meets in Colorado. And then you got to pass the bill, and then, you know, who knows when it goes into effect. So the veterans will still have to rely on recreational legalization to be able to get their cannabis. What's the difference? Why the big deal? Well, the medical cannabis in Colorado is cheaper. Don't have to pay all the taxes on it. And you can possess and grow more, I think twice as much than you can if you are just a regular old adult. So this is good news coming out of Denver, coming out of Colorado. We might get post-traumatic stress added to the medical marijuana condition list. Good news. Another story that I've been following, because you know me, I'm all into the data. The European School Survey Project on Alcohol and Other Drugs, as done by the European Monitoring Center for Drugs and Drug Addiction, has come out with its new figures for 2015. This is the European version of the National Survey on Drug Use and Health by the Office of National Drug Control Policy, or the Substance Abuse Mental Health Services Agency, excuse me. So this is the European version of what we talk about a lot when it comes to the data. And this is surveys of young people, of teens. Actually, I think the survey is age 13 and over that they're talking about this. 13, people, students, basically. So here's what they found. First of all, they have found that about a third of European teens find cannabis easy or fairly easy to acquire. This is a number that stayed around 30 to 33% since 1999. So throughout the whole 21st century, about a third of European kids say it's easy or fairly easy to get pot. That's up from 22% back in 1995. So it has become more accessible. At least the perception is that it's more accessible than it used to be. But these numbers pale in comparison to the U.S. numbers. Among U.S. teens, the Monitoring the Future survey has shown consistently for 40 years, over 40 years now, that 80 to 90% of U.S. teens say it's easy or fairly easy to get a hold of some cannabis. That figure just sank below 80%, 79.5% for 2015. So it's 32% for European teens. It's 80-some percent. Now, these aren't exactly apples-to-apples comparisons. The Monitoring the Future survey is only asking high school seniors how easy it is. And, of course, they're 17 or 18 years old. They're going to have a much easier time than someone who's 12 or 13. The numbers coming out of Europe, perceived availability, is all students age 13 and up. So 13 to, like, 19 or so. And yeah, it's going to be a whole lot more difficult for a 13-year-old to get a hold of some cannabis than a 17-year-old. Some other figures we get here. The early onset of daily cannabis use. Now, what they're referring to is how young were you when you became a daily cannabis consumer? That's still sitting at 3%. And young, they're talking about, 13 or 14. So those numbers have stayed relatively the same for, again, the whole 21st century. Cigarette use, though, among European teens, lifetime use, have they ever tried cigarettes, has dropped from 2 out of 3 in 1995 to less than half in 2015. Cigarette use plummeting in Europe, just like it is in America. Current cigarette use is down from a third to almost a fifth, 32% in 95 to 22% in 2015. Daily cigarette use down from a fifth, 20%, to 13% now, about 1 out of 12. Current alcohol use, slightly down. Less than half of European teens are currently using alcohol. And lifetime cannabis use, have they ever tried cannabis? Up from 11% to 17% among the European teens. Current cannabis use up from 4% to 7%. Now, these numbers compared to the United States teens, current cannabis use among U.S. teens is higher than that, for sure. Among the college age use in America, it's about a third are using currently. So what we're finding here in the European numbers is, compared to the United States, we see less use of cannabis, and we see less problematic use of cannabis, and less access to cannabis in Europe compared to the United States. And when you compare the policies, again, they're different from country to country in Europe, but generally speaking, Europe has more of a decriminalized, health-related approach toward cannabis use compared to the United States' strict prohibition model. All right, we're going to take a break and wrap up the show. When we come back, we've got an update on legalization in Nevada. New poll just out. We'll tell you how things are looking there. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show, Toker Talk Radio. Be back right after this.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Forwarding the cause of legalization and research of the growing cannabis industry, one podcast at a time. The Cannabis Radio Network.
Cash?
Sorry.
I don't carry around cash, and I don't want to use the ATM and pay surcharges.
You don't need to carry cash. Haven't you heard about PayQuick?
Okay, tell me about PayQuick.
It's the safe and easy way to pay. It works just like your debit card to securely pay for your purchase, and it gives you rewards points every time you use it.
Nice.
PayQuick, the safe and easy way to pay. PayQuick.com.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson, or Norman, and I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
Yar, thar be pirates here. Har, 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 har.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back, everybody. Just winding things up here. Checking out my Twitter feed. Do you remember Randy Philbrick? He was the guy who was the head of Oregon's Project Sam affiliate. And he is no longer the head of Oregon's Project Sam affiliate. Got called out by Kevin Sabet because when the Orlando Massacre happened, remember that? The Orlando Massacre? Guy runs in and shoots 50, you know, hundreds of people in the nightclub, kills half of them, right? Remember that? When that came out, when that massacre happened, Representative Blumenauer, my congressman, tweeted out about it. And Randy called out Representative Blumenauer because Representative Blumenauer is, I can't remember exact phrasing, but Blumenauer is in support of marijuana legalization, a public health policy that's harmful, but is condoning or is condemning a shooting massacre. Yeah, I know it doesn't make any sense. Randy was trying to say basically that Representative Blumenauer is a hypocrite because he supposedly so cares about the public well-being to condemn a shooting massacre and the lax gun laws leading to it, but he supports the public health disaster that is marijuana legalization. And he was roundly criticized by lots of people saying, what the fuck? You're comparing a madman spraying bullets in a nightclub to the legalization of a non-toxic substance that never killed anybody. So this was a big scandal and got a lot of play throughout social media. It got Kevin Sabet's attention, and Kevin Sabet sacked Randy for that. So I haven't heard from Randy in a while, and I just went on break and I took a look at my Twitter feed, and there he was. And he was linking back to the story that I wrote for weednews.co. It's been reprinted in the Oregon Cannabis Connection. And it's my story on Terrence Crutcher. Terrence Crutcher, the unarmed black man in Tulsa who had his hands over his head and was complying with officers when he was shot and killed by one of them. And I'd written this piece, this long piece, on how the drug war is exacerbating this police disdain for black lives. And I make the point that because the drug war and the prohibition creates gangs and violence, and then that's concentrated in minority neighborhoods. And after a few generations of all the violence around prohibition happening in minority neighborhoods, the public develops this stereotype that young black men are inherently criminal and violent. That was the point of the whole essay. So Randy was offended by that. And he writes, quote, "Wow, you wrongfully accuse me of using a death to push my agenda, and here you are actually doing it." Well, it's good to know that Randy still can't make a decent analogy because the two situations are nothing alike. First of all, I didn't accuse you of using a death to push your agenda. You used deaths, multiple. And we're falsely comparing a shooting massacre that kills people to an herb that does not. Whereas what I am doing is pointing out how the death involved here, Terrence Crutcher, that's not pushing my agenda. That's evidence of the need for my agenda. The point I'm making is that the killing of unarmed black people by police, the whole Black Lives Matter movement, owes a great deal to the racist war on drugs. A war on drugs that was started for explicitly racist purposes, Randy. Ehrlichman's quote from the Harper magazine on how they criminalized cannabis and heroin to undermine the hippies and the blacks as they were gaining political power. Explicitly racist. To go back even further in time to the original Harrison Narcotics Acts and the Marijuana Tax Act and the Opium Act and all these original early 20th century prohibitionary drug laws that are the foundation of our drug war were also explicitly racist. The cocaine-crazed Negroes, the attacks upon white women by the coked-up Negroes that would disobey white authority and be superhuman. There's no comparison, Randy. You have committed, yet again, an epic fail. Now, before we leave, we've got to update you on this poll coming out of Nevada. Oh, good news, folks. KTNV Rasmussen poll, Channel 13 there in Las Vegas, says out of 800 voters that were surveyed, 53% support question 2. And only 39% oppose. That's up from a 50-41 poll that was conducted back in July. Support is increasing in the state of Nevada for marijuana legalization. All right, folks, that's all the time we've got for today. Thanks for joining us. Time flies when you legalize. We'll be back tomorrow with more news and views you can use for the cannabis community. We'll have our guest from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, Sheriff Paul Stiegleiter, and Alex Rogers on the ICBC in Vancouver. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.